You're listening to the Do Good Podcast, official podcast of the Do Good Collab, where it's our mission to incubate innovation and bring positive change through the bringing together of interdisciplinary ventures and creative individuals, and to inspire shared enthusiasm through feeling a broader shared mission towards improving the world together. Today, you're going to listen to me chat with Brittany Robbins, CEO and founder of Gray Matter Experience, about diversity, inclusion, and race for entrepreneurs in and a part of corporate America. We ended up having an amazing dialogue on what a thriving, diverse, collective win looks like for us all. Let's get right into it. I am really enthusiastic right now to be talking to Brittany Robbins.
You got it.
Got it. CEO of Gray Matter Experience. Thank you so much for coming on the Do Good Podcast. I appreciate it.
Could have been anywhere, but I'm happy to be here right now.
Hey.
Yeah.
So I was going to jump into what you do, but I actually want to jump straight into what we were just talking about before we got on the show, which is not identifying with labels to the extent that you're not confined in a box. And I want you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like as a society, as a culture, as a nation, we have labeled everything in a way that makes it easier to digest. And I think in doing so, we have eliminated a lot of fluidity and a lot of what people naturally are. And so it forces people to have to try to live up to standards and fit into a place that, like, we were never actually designed to fit into.
Yeah.
And I think it limits us a lot from what our capabilities are and what we're truly able to achieve. And it breaks down some of the communication between us because we're automatically like, well, if you're doing a podcast, then you have to be X, Y, and
right.
Z. Or if you're running a nonprofit, you have to be this, that, and the other. Or if you're a CEO, you have to be this, that. And I think
Before they were a CEO or a nonprofit, they were something else.
Yeah, they were a person that did a whole trajectory of things that led to this point. And I think by us trying to like better digest who people are and putting them in boxes and categories, it has truly like disintegrated a whole understanding of who we are as people and like how we're able to connect with one another. And so for me, I try to stay away from that. And I'm in a space right now and like trying to figure out how to rebrand myself as more than just a nonprofit founder. Because most time if they hear Brittany Robbins, immediately it's the Gray Matter Experience. But there's so much more that I do outside of Gray Matter that
and there's
like,
so much more to you
hard.
As a person.
It's hard to redefine yourself in the terms of other people because you started as this. Like, why would you start to deviate from that? And how do you put yourself in a position to do this when this is all you've done your whole career? And I think it's really important for us to be nimble and be in accepting the fact that we all have experiences, and not even the CEOs of corporate foundations, they don't have to be put into a box. There's so much other skills and diversity of thought. Instead of labeling and trying to put people in a box and discrediting them because, okay, they're in this box, we need to start opening that up and really understanding how do we leverage these talents and these skills and the experiences that people have had to shape our understanding of how do we make this world a better place. That's all.
That was...
Hand claps.
No, but I really mean it because I try to communicate what I do in a broad way and still have some specificity to it, but it's difficult. Like we were saying, so you don't identify as a Democrat or a Republican and I have just come to the opinion that I don't want to either very recently, but then it makes people confused. They're like, well, you have to be something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes it easier for people to, again, judge you. And I don't know who gave us the gavel to judge and be able to truly decide who people are by way of their beliefs, but I think there's so much more than just slapping a label on it, right? Like, I could say I'm a chef, but I like to cook a specific type of food and in this specific discipline. And so it eliminates that opportunity for conversation around.
But then next year, you may end up liking cooking a very other specific kind of food.
So it's just, for me, and as somebody who is very determined and hyper-focused on growth, being forced to kind of put yourself in a box early on, it's hard to like fight your way out of that box and get into different spaces and places and around different networks because you've already pigeonholed yourself. And even if you haven't done it, other people have done it to you, to where I don't know that labels and categories and like really slapping a determination on people was the best way to go in how we are able to like compartmentalize how people operate in this world and how
explain
people,
ourselves.
Yeah, and I don't think that was the way to go, because I think personally we should all be on a continual
growth track.
Yeah.
On an ongoing basis, because we're always changing.
Exactly. There's so many people that I've met that have different experience than I have and more experience, and I'm able to learn from that and help that inform the work that I do, that like by nature my mind is going to change, the work that I do is going to change, the ways that I influence is going to change. And so by having this one label, immediately as a person, it makes me feel like these are the only constraints that I have to operate within, because that's what this industry says. And I think it just limits us a lot from our potential and keeps us a lot from the things that we were actually put on this earth to do, because we're looking at it from a lens, well, if that's who I say I am, these are the things that I have to check the box for, and there's nothing outside of this realm that I'm even able to accomplish because this is who I said I am, and this is what the people say that I have to do.
Yeah. And it's like, not only are you an ongoing process, but you're always a possibility. So you could always be something else as well. And who knows? Like tomorrow you could have some kind of crazy experience, and then now you're a changed person.
Yeah.
Now you want to do something else.
I just feel like there's so much in this world to experience. And whether you're confined to the constraints of 79th and Cottage Grove, or whether you're confined to the constraints of the West Loop, wherever you have these constraints of what your zip code and your area of what you experience is. But then as you grow and you accept new opportunities, you get exposure to the world around you, and you get exposure to the world outside of the world around you, and it helps inform the decision that you make. And when you're not able to fully step into that and say, you know what, I know I thought this last year, but I changed my mind. I know I positioned my organization for this, but through my experience, I was able to change how we go about things. I think it limits the innovation and the creativity and the impact as a whole that we could have, because we're so focused on, well,
yeah, it limits
said,
innovation.
Yeah, that person said this and now they're doing that, so like discredit them completely because they changed their mind. But rather, it's the more informed you are and the more experience you have, the more you can talk to people from a different place,
your mind's gonna change.
Hello That's it.
And if people's minds can change for the better, then we've achieved something good.
Something. Even if it doesn't directly impact your sphere of influence, someone somewhere is like, wow, I didn't know that that's what they were going through. So, for example, I just did a whole sabbatical and traveled around the world for a couple weeks.
Wow, okay.
So I was in Israel, I was in Portugal, I was in Barcelona, and I was in Paris.
That sounds fun.
It was amazing. So for about 2.5 weeks, but the most exposure I got to one place was in Israel. And it was incredible to see that despite all of the challenges and the religious disbeliefs and everything that's going on there, how they're still finding way to innovate. And regardless of the label that's been slapped on them, the label that the world seems to think that they are, they're really doing the best with the resources that they have to innovate, to be inclusive, to really create social impact. And so it was those types of experience that, like, I'd never been to Israel before. I'd never even thought about traveling to Israel. I'm from Quincy, Illinois. It's a population of 40,000 and 5% Black. The racial demographic. And so for me to think about having these worldly experiences,
but
and
now here you are.
Here I am, and using their information and the things that they're doing to inform my own work, that's what it's about. It's not about staying in this box and continuing to create for your own community and for the people who are directly impacted. There's a whole world out here that needs support and needs resources. And if we're not thinking more than outside of our own personal influence, I think we're limiting ourselves to the impact that we can have.
Absolutely. We are limiting ourselves. Yeah. And a lot of the time I think we're limiting ourselves, but not deliberately. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are limiting themselves unconsciously or by accident. Yeah. So I'm glad we're having this discussion, because hopefully if you're listening, you feel more inspired to take inspiration from anywhere and everywhere and to not feel like there's anything that will discredit you because of that.
One thing that there's no right or wrong. We're all doing this for the first time. There have never been this many resources in this day and age, in this amount of time, with this diversity of people. This is new, right?
This is the world's new, fresh world.
It's a whole opportunity for us to define what does that look like and how do we go about seeing that enacted. And
it's so exciting,
instead of
though.
It's incredibly exciting. But instead of us trying to fit into the molds of what worked for previous generations and maybe the failures or the successes that they'd had, how do we take the unique opportunity that we have right now in this moment to truly activate people, make people feel inclusive, make people feel like they're a part of this story, and truly start to leverage people's experiences to make change? And I think we're not doing enough of that. I think we're continuing to say, well, this is what happened in the past, so we have to keep doing that. And so it creates this barrier for people of color and people of lower socioeconomic status to enter this space, when it's their experiences are just as important, because they're us. There's no American dream. There's no one American dream. It's all of us. And so if it's not beneficial for everyone,
because at this point America is like from everywhere.
What are we doing? If it's not beneficial for everyone, how are we truly winning? And yes, I can be Jeff Bezos and be like a billionaire and out here I have no cares in the world, but then when I look at my local statistics and there are people homeless and there are people who can't afford education and there are people who are working 3-4 jobs to just feed their two kids, it's a problem that I have a responsibility to figure out how to take care
that
of.
We should feel like we all have a responsibility to take care of, because we are us, right?
We are us. We are us. And if we don't leave this world in a better place than it was when we came into it, what was our time here for?
Absolutely.
What was it spent?
So tell me a little bit more about the work you do with Gray Matter.
Yeah, so Gray Matter is my heart and soul. It is the thing that I've dedicated the most consistent time to for a period of time. Gray Matter is a nonprofit that is currently based in Chicago, and the whole goal is to level the playing field for founders of color, essentially. And so how we do that, we start with the younger generation. We start with high school age kids between the ages of 15 and 19, or freshman and senior, and we really provide them an opportunity to not only learn what entrepreneurship is about and learn how to build businesses, but actually give them resources and opportunities to start businesses that impact their communities. So we do that in several different formats. We have 4 different programs that we offer. We have a 12-week boot camp, actually, that applications are open for right now until the end of January. And so students across the city who maybe have an interest in entrepreneurship, maybe don't know that they have an interest in entrepreneurship, go through this process and learn how to build a business. They get exposed to several different technologies and innovations across the city of Chicago, business owners that they can ask questions to on how they built their empires, and work with other students across the city to build businesses that impact their communities. At the end of that 12-week program, we do a pitch competition called Pitch Black, where they get a chance to get feedback from judges and other entrepreneurs to tell them how to shore up their business plan. And at that point, they're interested, students can go into the second version of our program, which is our summer accelerator. And so that's for students who either went through that 12-week boot camp or are just around the city of Chicago and have business ideas that they would like to make a real deal, that we can put resources and money behind to really help them get a full go-to-market strategy together, pair them with a mentor that will help to grow their business and invest money and capital into actually helping them grow and incorporate this business. And so those are kind of like our two bread and butter programs.
Awesome.
It's amazing. I have had so many great experiences with youth across Chicago that continue to blow my mind and make the work that we're doing worth it. And then we have an in-school program where we work with schools across the city who don't have entrepreneurship curriculum. We do a semester-long version of the program there. And then our final offering is our auxiliary program. So we work with other organizations who are working with our target demographic, who are typically minority youth in the freshman to senior space. And so whether they're teaching them how to code or do design thinking, or in the case of After School Matters, has a plethora of organizations.
Yeah, After School Matters has a lot of connections.
They're insane. Yeah. They're doing great work. And so we work with them to create curriculum so that by the time students leave that program, they know how to monetize that skill set that they're learning. And so what we're doing is really trying to infuse entrepreneurship in Black and Brown communities and make sure that students understand that corporate America is not the only way to go. And even if that is the way to go, there's still a way to make passive income and really try to level this playing field to really achieve progression in the wealth gap that exists for Black and Brown people in today's society. And so giving them alternative solutions.
And I want you to elaborate more on that, like why there is a need for organizations like Gray Matter and where that gap is in our education system, because it's something that more people should be talking about, but you know.
I think the work that we do is like critically important. First thing is that when we think about the education system, it's very broken. And it's not just broken here in Chicago, it's broken across the globe. There is nobody really advocating for the type of education that needs to be taught to our students today. There are specific schools that are doing it, but the fact that it is not a universal trait that is carried on throughout cities, throughout demographics, throughout neighborhoods, it's an issue, right? So there's not equity in education across the globe and specifically in the States. And so what that's doing is it's causing our Black and Brown communities to kind of be at a disadvantage to the education that they receive. And so if you look at the stark contrast between a white community and a Black community and the ways in which students are able to take and leverage that education that they receive in K through 12, it's a stark difference. It's a stark contrast.
I'd imagine.
And so it's insane. And so for what we're trying to do with Gray Matter is really create an opportunity for students to understand, as Black and Brown communities, hustling and like making and creating is part of our DNA. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you see it up and down the streets. When you drive down 79th, you see people selling things. You that is just a part of our nature.
Just making it work.
Making it
however
work.
You can.
Making do with what we have. And that hasn't always been the case. We had Black Wall Street. We had Tulsa, Oklahoma. We had all of these places where Black entrepreneurship was a thing, right? And it was thriving and we were wealthy and we had power. But as society will dictate, you know, our power is a threat. So those things were kind of cut down. And in so, a lot of our communities were insecure, really, about rebuilding what that looks like and rebuilding wealth. And so a lot of the tracks that you'll see in Black communities is us taking the corporate.
You're saying in the past there was
thriving and
I'm
bustling.
Uneducated.
Yeah.
So in the past, this was, it was
Black
really
community.
Thriving.
Oh my goodness. And if you haven't heard about Tulsa, Oklahoma and the Black Wall Street, I encourage you all to please, 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 please do your education and do your research to learn. This was an entire Black community.
Can you talk a little bit about
sure,
it for
yeah.
the show?
Yeah. It was an entire Black community that was thriving with Black businesses, tailors, restaurants and drug stores and hospitals and you name it, it's Black owned. The money's going into the Black community and back to the community, and we're continuing to support one another. And because we're not able to get the support that we need in the white communities, we've built our own, and they're fully sustainable, creating revenue, creating job opportunities. But it was a threat. It was a threat. At the same time, you have all of these opposing factors on like what Black people are able to actually own and how we're able to achieve that wealth. And because it wasn't through the lens of white wealth, then it was a threat. Mm. And so that entire community was burned down. People were killed. It
really?
Was buried. It was
that's terrible.
Also, if you haven't watched Watchmen on HBO, that's a much like more sanitized version to kind of get exposure to what actually happened in these communities. And so we lost all of that. And through that, not only were our communities burned and ravished and we did not have that anymore, but the confidence of Black business owners completely plummeted. It has been very hard for us to kind of rebuild that internally to get this Black Wall Street idealism popping again and get people to understand that, like, we have it. We're capable of doing it. We can hire people. We can build businesses that are sustainable. And so what you see in our communities is most oftentimes you have these one-off businesses that service the entire community, or you have businesses that, like, have a specific set of customers, but if it weren't for those customers, they would not be in business. And so it makes it very hard for Black-owned businesses to truly succeed because
relying on very specific one-off things.
Very specific and personal relationships that we've built with people, which is great. But at the same time, when you think about it in terms of our counterparts, that's not the marketing strategy that we should be deploying because it's very limited, right? And so through that, there's just been a lot of education, resources, and pride that's been lost in Black business ownership. And so most times when you see Black businesses created, you don't see them in the South Side. You don't see them in the West Side. Typically, if they're thriving, they're in a downtown community. Mm. Typically, they're somewhere where somebody has access to them. And so what Gray Matter Experience is really trying to do is re-empower that Black Wall Street mindset.
Through organizations like Gray Matter, you're re-infusing optimism and idealism
into people. So it's not just the concepts of here's how to build a business. Here's the target market you need to go about. And here's the market research you need, and here's how to do your business model. But also, here are other people that came before you that did this. And these are not things that we learn in our classroom. These are not things that we learn through our history of being Black. These are things that maybe you see pop up here and there, but we're really trying to re-empower Black communities to take ownership of creating wealth for themselves, for their families, for their communities, and really create institutions that they can hire people on. Most every Black business that exists is a micro business, which means there is 1 to 5 employees that operate there.
Really?
Yeah. And so what we're really trying to do is give students this opportunity at a very early age to understand that it's bigger than them, right? Mm. This is something that we're trying to rebuild as a Black community and give opportunities to others so that if we can build a business that is a need, that is sustainable, that is something that is required and desired in our communities, we create a system where we can hire on and start to decrease the unemployment rates. We can start to empower other people to go after their dreams, right?
So you have the blueprint. Like
it's there. It's there.
You can see where the steps go.
Yeah. It's been done before. So it's not like this is a pie in the sky goal. Yeah. This is not something that, like, oh man, it's really going to take a lot to re-empower Black folks to do it. It's really, honestly, I think a huge part of it is, like, our history has been buried so deep that we don't even know it. Mm. There's so many Black folks that are not in tune with the types of advancements that other Black folks that have came before us have done. And through our education system, through the spaces that we're into, we don't get exposure to that. And so it is really a responsibility of our own race to surface those stories and create those opportunities for us to get back to that place to where we can truly be thriving and not have to be so dependent on a system that was never designed to support us. It was never designed to support Black people. You can look in the Constitution. We had 3/5 of a people in the Constitution. So this was never designed for Black people to win. But when we start to take that power back and put it in our own hands and say, you know, the wealthiest can create opportunities for our own people, and we can start to leverage this collective economics, this is where we really get to start rebuilding those communities. And one thing that I will say is not that this is just a independent sector. This is not just Black folks working for Black folks, and this is all for the good of Black people. But I think we all collectively,
we all benefit
have to,
from
exactly,
this.
We all have to be in tune on this. And yes. I think with this age of diversity and inclusion, we have to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And it's not just about checking a box and saying, well, I did hire a Black person. But then now how do you bring a Black person to the table and take their input
and all
take
the
their
decision-making
experience?
Process of
and
what
give
you do.
Them a voice at the table to actually say, no, I think this is the best way for us to go. Because when you look at it, there's so many people that are benefiting off of the culture of Black people, but not allowing them to be at that table to really drive
culture
the decisions.
Vulture.
Yes. So for me, Gray Matter is an opportunity to source and really empower folks who are about rebuilding this community, but also giving us space to, whether you start your own business or not, or you go into a corporate space, that you're able to kind of leverage that empowerment and that confidence and that history to inform your decisions moving forward. And I think as a whole, just as a society, Black, white, or otherwise, I think it is crucially important for us to really lean into and
that
leverage
we're
our
together in
yes
this. Yeah.
it is a collective experience.
I think it really does benefit
100%.
Absolutely.
This is a if we really want to go back to what America is, it is a melting pot. And if we continue to drive this melting pot that it only serves one demographic, we're
doesn't
going to
sense.
Continue to get the same result and the same like completely differentiating views and supports and resources that we have. And so it is only when we truly start to sit around diverse tables and understand your experience and my experience and someone else's experience and say, you know what? Actually, the common theme here is this. And here's how we build a system and solution around this. I think that's the only way that we can collectively start to change the history that has so like blatantly put so many groups in a disparity position and really start to empower other people so that it's not just that if we do this, Black people are the only people that win. That's not it. Like, by Black people winning, white people win. By white
yes.
people winning, this group wins. But, you know, and so it's important for us to truly start thinking about it more as
that
a collective.
That we can win together.
Yeah,
yeah
than an
yeah.
individualist. Like,
but we have to be serious about where the gaps are.
Truly. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that has lacked is we're so afraid to have these conversations. Mm. Like, I can be honest with you, and maybe my 4 years of business just being alone, this may be the most real conversation I've had about race across
wow.
the table from somebody who doesn't look like me. And so these conversations are not happening as frequently as they should, but they should happen because you don't feel any type of way. You're getting informed. I'm getting
exactly.
informed
I'm
about
being
the things that you
right
have
now.
Access to. And so it's so crucially important for us to make those tables more diverse and to really not only do it because we're checking a box, but really like, wow, what are the experiences that you go through? And like, what are the resources that you have access to that like I've never even heard of on my sphere of influence?
Exactly.
And so
the way I look at it is inclusivity creates involvement.
100%.
And life gets exciting when we're involved together in something.
Yes.
You look at like the World Cup, when so many people around the world are involved and it's just a game, but it makes living exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to exclude is to not make things as exciting as they could be for all of us together.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And you can see it in every, you can see it in entertainment, you can see it in music, you can see it in movies, you can see it in business, you can see it in every sphere. The more diverse it is, the better it thrives. Mm. And so instead of creating those spaces from a place of like, I don't understand, but I'm going to try, bring those voices into the table and give them an opportunity to help you, because not only do they win because they feel like, wow, I'm finally represented. Somebody's finally listening to me and there's finally a channel for my people to get the information they need. But on the back end of that, you're benefiting. Your profits go up. You have more connectivity amongst the people.
Right.
You have more people who are interested in investing in you because you'll give them a platform. And I think not enough of us understand that. I think we still see it as a very cyclical, independent type of sector. And like, well, if I can do this and I can build this wealth, then I can have this influence. But it's not until we all get to the table that we're really able to kind of drive that change and make it culturally diverse, interesting
enough. Step one,
enough.
Bring everyone to the table.
Everybody should have a voice at the table. If you're benefiting off of their culture, they should have a seat at your table, period. Period.
Yeah. Well, okay, so then now everyone's at the table, that's when you feel like we can really start driving change.
Ish. I think what happens once we're at the table is ego. Ego gets introduced. And I think that's where strong leadership comes into play. And I've talked in several circles about this recently, but I think that's the biggest opportunity that we have right now as a society is raising up strong leaders who understand diversity, who understand inclusion, who understand this collective mindset of it's not just me. I don't want to be a billionaire. I do want to be a billionaire, but I would rather all of the people around this table people who are helping me to build this empire, to build this platform, be doing well. They can also be billionaires. There's enough money in this world for us all to be billionaires.
From going from that scarcity mindset to that abundance mindset.
Thriving in abundance and stop hoarding resources and access and opportunities to saying, you know what? If that person wins, because I'm the person most directly connected to them and I've been the person that has kind of helped them thrive through this and I've given them opportunities and I've helped mentor them, immediately I'm going to benefit off of that. And I think enough of us don't see that. We see it as like, well, if I put this person on, they're going to be a threat to my, and it's like, what is the threat?
Right.
If the Amazon is burning and the entire world at some point won't exist, what is the threat? Like, what is the, if we don't have anything to operate off of, what are we fighting for if there's nothing to fight for? But while there are still resources and land and opportunities, why not bring more voices to the table? And the more this person succeeds, the more I succeed.
Yes.
The more I give to this person, the more they're going to feel compelled to want to give back to me and create a space for me to benefit off of. And I think enough of us are not understanding that. And again, we're still operating in this individualist mentality to where if I'm good, it doesn't matter if anybody else is struggling. And that,
because I think people forget that no matter how much we don't see it and whether we like it or not, how intimately connected all of us are. Whether or not we try to build a wall in front of each other, that impact that we have on each other is still an impact on ourselves.
Like I said, if the Amazon burns down, if climate change affects everything, it doesn't matter if you're Black, white, Indian, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. We don't have a home anymore.
Right.
So instead of us trying to build these walls against these different religions and races, we really have to think, pare it back to like, we're humans. We're humans. And we are the people that were put here to change what this looks like and to extend this and to really take advantage of the resources and opportunities. And right now, I don't feel like we're doing that. And I can't say we're not doing it. There's not enough of it happening.
Right.
And there's not enough people in positions of power with this same mindset that are pushing this agenda forward. I think there are a lot of people.
You can create little sparks here and there like this.
But how long does it last?
Right.
How long does it last? And so for me, it's really about collectively. All of us are frustrated by the same situations. Mm. All of us are frustrated by the same systems. All of us are disadvantaged and disenfranchised by the same system. How do we collectively come together and say, we're not going to do this anymore? It doesn't matter if this is how it's been done for 50 plus years. It doesn't matter if this is a generation and a generation and a generation. This is not what I feel is right to continue moving forward. And how do we start, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of age, start to really compile these people together to make true impact? And I think that's the only way we're going to see our society move forward. Otherwise, we have such a missed opportunity here.
Right. It's a missed opportunity. That's the right way and the real way to look at it.
Yes. There's never been a time in history where we've had this much money, this much access, this much influence, this much knowledge, this has never happened. There have been generations before us that have had, like, they figured it out. They opened up the door to technology and they opened up the door to the automotive industry. But where we are right now, we are so uniquely positioned to change the trajectory of how that looks like. And instead of continuing to use outdated modules to inform what we're doing today, how do we truly, truly bring the people to the table that are doing the work, that are about that life, that want to see us succeed? How do we get those people around the table to create systems that work for us now? This same system that we're operating off of in 2020 is not the same system that they operated off in 1950. And still, here we are using the same political system, using the same education system.
We have to change everything at this point.
What's going on? Like, why are we still being confined to thinking in this very limited scope?
Very outdated scope.
Yeah, and it's because it benefits the few. It benefits the white race. And it also does not allow for Black and other voices to be at the table.
Mm.
But when we look at the data, 2040 shows minorities are going to be the majority. And so how are we preparing ourselves for that? Yes, diversity and inclusion initiatives are fabulous. But if I'm honest, They haven't made any real impact. They're giving one in two people a shot at a new organization to fulfill some new dreams. How do we take that concept broadly and roll it out so that really there is diversity and equity at every turn, and that when 2040 comes, we're ready to say, hey, all of these people that have been in positions of power are ready to start transferring their knowledge and their resources and their access to folks of color who need it, who desperately need it to help their communities survive.
And like you said, the entire demographic of the United States is going to like shift under our feet.
And what are we doing to prepare for it besides posting on social media and saying, oh, I hate this, or this person is this, or that person is that? How are we collectively taking each of our spheres of influence and helping to get ready for that time?
Creating new systems.
Yeah, to me, that is the biggest area of opportunity that exists right now in the United States, is for us to stop all of this stuff that we've been doing and truly think about, where are we at right now and where are we headed? How do we raise up better leaders?
How do you think we do it?
I think it's multifaceted. Yeah. Again, I think part of it is in the leadership development. As a Black person who is, I would say I'm pretty well-versed and pretty well-connected, there are probably locally two or three leadership development initiatives that I'm interested in and that like serve the mission that I'm trying to serve. And outside of that, they don't exist, right? So creating more leadership development plans.
Do you mind saying those?
Yeah, so right now I'm in the Urban League Impact Urban Program. League. I've been a part of the Global Good Fellowship, which is like a more global perspective on things. There are several different leadership development programs through other Black-owned organizations, as well as like Ventures Capitals and places like that are trying to prepare people for that space. But as far as just basic leadership development, we could use more of those programs. We could use more of those programs that are accessible for people of color, because what we haven't had are people who are willing to develop that next generation of talent.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what this podcast is all about, is kind of taking a bird's eye view of what's going on around us and trying to figure out what's needed and what can we create to help perpetuate this positive change.
And I'm 32, and this leadership development program that I'm part of through the Urban League starts at 30. So what are the programs that exist for people younger than me? What are the programs for 18 to 25 year olds who want to be a voice of their community? Who's leveraging that, right? And so there are opportunities for us to raise up strong leaders. And I think
create new organizations empower those specific kinds of leaders.
Correct. And I think through that, you get people who are now emboldened to run for office. You get people who are now emboldened to stand up for their community and become aldermen, mayors, presidents, etc. And those are the type of people that we need in office that truly have a broad perspective, that don't have a personal agenda, that don't have something that they're coming to the table like, well, I need to hit these boxes, but no, I truly want to make change for my community because I've lived through this, right? And so I think leadership development programs are key. Again, creating more opportunities for collaboration amongst, again, race, religion, experience, etc., I think is a huge opportunity that we have to really leverage our experiences. I think part of the reason that I started my organization was that it was an organization that existed for people of color, and yet there were no people of color in any leadership position on the staff.
Interesting.
And so it truly is, again, about bringing diverse voices to the table. And if you're going to serve a community that is mostly Black, mostly Latino, mostly et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, those people need to be represented in the staff. You cannot continue to drive solutions for a community where you've never lived, where you've never experienced for more than 24
hours. Right. That's the basis of prejudice, is like you haven't lived the experience.
You don't even know.
And so now you're judging it from the
outside. Exactly. And now you're making a decision that you will push off to other people that will listen to your opinion.
Right.
That, and again, never have the experience. And so I think it's majorly important to get
so
diverse.
At least if you haven't had the experience, you should then be you making the decision with people who've had the experience.
Hello. You have somebody on the team that can say, you know what, that's not necessarily how it went down. Here's what these people need. And at minimum, if you're not going to change your staff to reflect the diversity of the communities you serve, then you have to survey the community that you serve.
Right.
Get their input. Don't continue to create solutions for a people that are not going to utilize the resources that you're creating, are not going to tap into
the network. Right, and then it's like wasted effort and wasted resources.
And again, it just gives folks that haven't had that opportunity, haven't had those resources, a chance to share their experience. And I think, again, across the board, that is where we need to start shifting our attention to, is how do we make informed decisions about this diversely growing country that we're in? Instead of continuing to create stuff by white folks for white folks, how do we start to bring people to the table that, like, I know for sure Black people are going to benefit from this. I know for sure we're leveraging Black community to build this. How do we bring those voices to the table without feeling threatened, without feeling disempowered, without feeling like, oh man, if I give this person an opportunity, my job is gone? Instead, look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, because that's not how it necessarily is.
It's not how it ever goes down. It's not ever how it goes down. Like, regardless of what we think, I mean, you could probably put the cases of that.
It's a fear that's not grounded in reality.
You can probably find data to support that at about a 5% level of, like, people who've come in and, like, taken over the organization. But that's not the reality.
Yeah,
and so it's truly, how do I get to my bottom line with including the people that I'm already leveraging, with the people that I'm already exploiting? How do I bring them to the table? And then through that experience, you start to realize, oh my God, these people aren't so bad. Oh my God, they actually have ideas that I really think could help us. Oh my God, they're not as barbaric or fill in the blank as I've been taught and as history has conditioned me to think these people are. And so I think that breaks down so many silos that is necessary. It's 100% necessary. And I think we are just at a very unique point in history where we have an opportunity to change it. And it will be very interesting to me, as much as people preach social impact and as much as people preach diversity and as much as people preach equity, how much of that we achieve in this very unique time period that we're in right now. And so I think that through leveraging leaderships, development programs, and really sourcing strong leaders and really taking this diversity and inclusion initiative and making it a real thing and not just a box that we check to say, okay, well, we did this or we tried, I think there's a huge implication on how that will inform the decisions that we make moving forward and the opportunities and equity that trickles down into the communities that most need it. I think 100% that is, like, low-hanging fruit.
I could say more, but I feel like we capped it off at a really good point. If there's anyone from any kind of industry that you'd be interested in reaching out, let them know how they can reach out.
Sure. So we are actually currently recruiting students for our next cohort for our boot camp. And so that cohort will start on Saturday, March 7th. It's a 12-week boot camp where we take students through a Saturday program. They meet for 5 hours on Saturdays and learn different business concepts. They're exposed to different entrepreneurs. They get fed while they're there. And at the end of it, they have a fully fleshed out business plan that they can execute on. If there are students across the city of Chicago that are interested in applying, I 100% would recommend them to apply by January 31st. If there are folks who are business owners or have experience working for a small business or even a corporate environment where they have business knowledge that they can share to help these students kind of inform their decisions and ways that they build their companies, we are also recruiting for volunteers. And then we're always interested in partnerships and donors. And so one of our big areas is tech. And so a lot of our students create tech businesses that they need to kind of bring to life. And so if there are tech companies that exist that are interested in kind of helping our students build their vision and bring their vision to life, or just to come in and expose them to resources that they're able to use as they grow their companies, we are always 100% open to that. And so our website is www.graymatterexperience.com. That's gray with an A. And then on all social media sites, we are Gray Matter EXP. Again, that's GrayMatterExp. Please come find us.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
that's
thank
a
you
wrap.
For having me. Awesome. This is great.
Whoever you are, wherever you are, you're appreciated. I appreciate you for taking the time to listen to this podcast, whether you liked it a little or a lot. and I hope you feel inspired to join us on this shared mission to improve the world alongside each other and the quality of our human lives. If you want to learn more, visit our website at dogoodcollab.com. That's dogood, C-O-L-L-A-B.com. I put this podcast out at least once a week, so stay tuned. Truly, we can live an amazing, enjoyable life together, but we have to make it happen together. Let's make it happen.